BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Morning, happy Monday to you. Welcome into a new day and a new week here on the program. Hope your day is starting off well, although it's not as chilly as it's been. It's still kind of chilly out there. Today will be a decent day. You're looking at temperatures around 40 degrees. It's a heat wave. But we got a little snow over the weekend. Didn't stick around, thankfully. And now we're going to get some colder weather coming up toward the end of the week. So you're going to be dealing with some colder mornings, but take advantage of what we've got today because it could be worse for what is now, believe it or not, mid-January. That's right. We are just about at the midpoint of the month. It's been pretty fast moving. Pretty quickly, we've gotten to the 13th here. And I wonder if that's a sign to come of just how quickly this whole year will pass by us. 1 week from today will be Inauguration Day. Then you'll have, before you know it, it'll be Easter. And then it'll be summertime before we know it. So don't worry too much about the cold temperatures. We've only got about a month and a half to 2 months left of this before things will take another turn. So you heard Phil mention there in the news over the weekend what is believed to be the first homicide in the city of 2025 when someone was shot and killed. Three people were shot, but one person killed inside the Morna Lounge on Acushnet Avenue in the near North End. And as detailed in the story at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, this is not the first incident of violence in that building, in that bar. And I don't know what the current status is of the probation for Morna Lounge with the New Bedford Licensing Board, but I'm going to guess that there's probably going to be some repercussions for this. Three people shot, two women injured, and then one young man killed. And if you remember, it was just last summer where someone was killed, you know, found shot dead outside of the Morna Lounge, right in the grassy area behind it. There's a building that I think is a might be a group home of some kind. But in the space between those two buildings, a person was found shot and killed. And then there was a stabbing in there a few years ago. And they had dealt with some licensing issues, some license was on probation. They were shut down for a period of time. But one of the questions that came up that I noticed in some of the comments on social media is how much can you blame the business for what the people inside the business do? And this is something that happens all the time when we write about fights or stabbings or something that happens outside of a business where the business will reach out to us and say, hey, you know, that happened outside. It didn't happen inside. A lot of times the police will utilize familiar landmarks when dispatching. So they might say, you know, dispatch to whatever business when whatever it was that happened outside. When I was driving for Uber, I was picking up a lot of people at the vault when it closed. And if incidents happened there, that would be what the police would call it in as. You know, a fight outside the vault, a stabbing outside the vault. And what would happen is it would be not even people who were customers of the vault, but that was kind of the mustering point. For anybody that was getting a ride, they would all stand outside that building and wait for people to pick them up. So you'd be picking up people from all the downtown bars, or at least within the immediate Purchase Street area. And that's just where they would all stand and gather. So yeah, it would be unfair to the vault to say that it was something that happened at the vault, even though it just happened outside of it. But this was reported by the Bristol County District Attorney's Office as happening inside the bar. So then how much do you say that that's on the ownership, the management of that facility? They took extra steps after the stabbing incident to change up kind of the way they were doing things and to hopefully make things a little bit more safer. But were those protocols still in place, or had they become complacent with them whereas they hadn't had anything go on? I think there was a fight there relatively recently, but hey, you know, fights happen at bars. I would never put a fight on ownership or management. If it turns into a big knockout, dragout brawl, that's a different story. If it's not handled properly, but, you know, fights happen. Arguments happen. They escalate. Sometimes a punch or two is thrown before someone gets over to break it up and bring the people out. But how much is the business responsible for something like a shooting that happens inside of the building? Is it unfair to hold them accountable? And one of the commenters on Facebook made the point of, so if ownership is responsible, then I guess that means if somebody steals my gun and shoots somebody with it, I'm responsible for that. Yes, you are. By the law, you are. And if somebody steals my car and hits somebody, I'm responsible. Yes, you are, believe it or not. So does it mean you're going to go to jail? Probably not, but you can be held responsible, especially civilly. But there's also a point where you say, the people who run the facility can't be responsible for the actions of the people inside. So it'll be an interesting question that the licensing board is certainly going to have to answer in conjunction with the police department. And we'll see what the future is of the Morta Lounge and Grill. And again, this happened early Saturday morning at about 1:21 in the morning. I don't know what time the bars close in New Bedford. But I can tell you I've been in that neighborhood at that time of night, picking people up, giving them rides, and you get a lot of people that kind of stand in one spot. There's a couple of different bars down there. It could have been somebody that came from another bar, went in to get warm, waiting for a ride, and they might not have been a person that was at that bar all night long. So I think we'll have to wait and see what happens, but certainly there's going to be a hearing about this. Now, as for any arrests, we haven't heard anything yet, but we will keep you up to date with that if we find out. I would have liked to have thought we could have gotten more than 2 weeks into the year before having to talk about the first homicide in the city, but here we are. So what are your thoughts? 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails, both open on the WBSM app. I suppose when you have an incident like this, the gut reaction is, close the place down. Just close the place down. But I think there has to be a look into how responsible the location might be. And this could just be, the wrong element coming into a business that is relatively fine. I mean, everybody I ever picked up from there, nobody ever seemed to be a problem. Everybody was nice and respectful and tipped well. And most of them weren't even going that far. Most of them were people that were from the neighborhood or, within a mile or so. But obviously, 1:30 in the morning when it's cold out, you'll pay the couple of bucks for a ride rather than freeze walking home. But again, it remains to be seen how much they were still on probation and how much they were still utilizing those protocols that they had put in place a couple of years ago to combat some of the violence that had happened there. Again, 508-996-0500. Also, and I'm hoping to have a story on this later today, a printed story with more information and some background from the New Bedford Department of Public Health. But the health department, I reached out to them on Friday and also found the documentation that explained something that a caller had been calling about for the last couple of weeks, and that's being the increased price of a single cigar in New Bedford. And come to find out, as we've learned, the New Bedford Board of Health creates its own rules and regulations. It does not have to go, they're autonomous. It does not have to go by any kind of ordinance committee or any kind of city council vote. The New Bedford Board of Health can make its own rules and regulations and put them into place. And they did, starting January 1st of this year. They set a minimum price for a single cigar and a minimum price for a pack of two or more cigars. And the reasoning behind it was that cigars were taxed at a much lower rate than cigarettes. And the point of all of this, and they have some other changes that have come into other tobacco products as well. And I'll link to all of that in the story so that you can read them all over because, the story probably, I don't know how in-depth we'll get with all of that. But the idea is to make the prices at a point where they deter people from buying them. That's literally what they're trying to do. They're trying to deter people from buying them. They want you to say, $2.90 for a single cigar. Screw that. I'm not even going to buy those anymore. Because the Department of Health, the Board of Health is looking at, we'd rather lose the revenue of the tax money from the sales of those products than to have the public continue to be smokers. And this comes because there's a law on the books in the Commonwealth that allows the local municipalities to determine what they want to charge for tobacco, what they want to tax for tobacco products, how they want to handle the sale of tobacco products. So my guess is that the state, the Commonwealth, doesn't care either. They would rather see people stop smoking and lose that tax revenue. 508-996-0500. I think I've got time to take a quick call, and then I've got to take a break. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim. I want to keep it very brief anyway.
Sure.
I listen to my skin all of the time. I noticed recently there's like blackouts where it goes for a long period of time without hearing anything about what's happening in our cities. The mayor trying to control that?
Well,
the police chief, so we don't know what's going on in our city.
You'd like to think it's just being
with a scanner signal.
You'd like to think it's nice and quiet and there's nothing actually happening. But
I know, but this is happening quite often. It's out of the norm.
I would say that this time of year, I wouldn't be too concerned about that because it's colder weather, less people are out causing problems. But it'll be interesting to see as the weather warms up if that continues to be the case.
Yeah, well, I hope so. I hope it's not them finagling, the mayor and the police chief.
Well, they do.
We don't know what's going on in our city.
They do go to private. They do go to private channels quite a bit, but usually they announce first that they're going to a private channel.
I'm just saying something that an anomaly that I've been noticing lately, but it is very troubling the crime that's happening in our city. I wonder how much of this is outsiders and illegal aliens that are contributing to the crime in our city. Although the police chief says they are law-abiding immigrants. They're not here legally, but that's according to the police chief when he was on.
Yeah, I mean, my guess would be that if people are here, illegally, they're going to do less things to cause attention and to cause problems and draw attention to themselves. It's probably people who are, who live right in the neighborhood and that, this is their neighborhood bar or their neighborhood hangout that are ending up in these problems. And it could be, how it goes, the turf wars.
With gangs.
Yeah,
they're affiliated with gangs, Tim. Maybe that's what it is. But why is that bar open after 1 a.m? That's a question we all need to ask.
Is
24
it,
hours a day? Is that what it is?
Is it 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. that bars have to close in New Bedford?
I have no idea.
Yeah, because I think it might be 2 a.m.
That's what we need to get down to the bottom of. All right, Tim. Thank you for giving me the time.
Have a good day. And, I think it might be 2 a.m. And if that's the case, then, you'll probably have a lot of people at that time of night getting in there for last call. But I'm not exactly sure what time. And even if if last call is 1 o'clock, they're still having people disperse, especially on a cold night. They're probably letting people stay inside until their rides arrive rather than stand out on the street. I was assuming that it was snowing at that point. I was already asleep. So I don't know if it was still snowing at that point or not. I know that I saw flurries coming throughout the course of the night out my window, but then I think I zonked out around 11 o'clock in my chair, so I don't know what the weather was like. Anyway, 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. And we can take more of your calls coming up in just a few seconds, but right now it's time to go into the newsroom and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
The death toll rises as Los Angeles wildfires rage on. Rudy Giuliani faces another tough week in court. And want to break a Guinness World Record? Do hold your breath.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Wildfires continue to rage in Los Angeles, fueled by strong winds and dry conditions. 24 people have died and 16 remain missing. Dangerous fire weather conditions expected to persist this week with strong winds and low humidity. Firefighters are battling the blazes, but the situation remains critical. Evacuation orders remain in place for many, and authorities are urging people to stay away from the affected areas. About 600,000 Venezuelans and more than 230,000 Salvadorans already living in the United States can legally remain another 18 months. This according to the Department of Homeland Security, and barely a week before President-elect Donald Trump takes office with promises of hardline immigration policies. President Biden's administration has strongly supported temporary protected status, which he's broadly expanded to cover about 1 million people. TPS faces an uncertain future under Trump. After he was found in contempt twice in 1 week, Rudy Giuliani faces another potentially treacherous week at trial to determine whether his Florida condo and three World Series rings must be turned over to two Georgia election workers who won a $148 million award against him. The former New York City mayor was found in contempt on Friday by a Washington judge for repeating false claims that the workers corruptly counted votes in the 2020 presidential election. Last Monday, a New York judge found him in contempt for failing to adequately turn over evidence about his assets. A Louisiana man has been arrested and charged with the murders of his son, sister, and her son. The suspect, who was being treated for schizophrenia, began hearing voices the day before the killings. Relatives say they sought help for him at a local hospital, but were unsuccessful in getting him admitted for psychiatric treatment. The suspect remains in jail. The investigation is ongoing. A portion of a pedestrian bridge collapsed onto a highway south of Anchorage, Alaska, early Sunday morning. Strong winds are suspected to be the cause. The side fencing and roof of the bridge fell, but the main structure remained intact. No injuries were reported, although traffic had to be rerouted and crews quickly cleared the debris. An international team has successfully drilled and retrieved a 9,000-foot-long ice core from Antarctica, dating back 1.2 million years. The time machine provides a unique record of Earth's climate, including greenhouse gas levels, and it'll help scientists understand how the planet's climate has changed over time. The core was extracted from a remote and challenging location on the Antarctic plateau. The discovery will aid in understanding the shift in Earth's ice ages and the impact of climate change. And Australian freediver Amber Bork has broken the Guinness World Record for the longest underwater walk with one breath, covering a distance of 370 feet and 2 inches. Bork achieved the feat after weeks of rigorous training. She aimed to not only break her own personal best, but also raise funds for the Australian Marine Conservation Society.
WBSM Sports.
The New England Patriots have a new head coach in former linebacker Mike Vrabel. He'll replace Gerard Mayo, who was fired after a disappointing season one. Boston Bruins back on the ice Tuesday, hosting the Tampa Bay Lightning at TD Garden. Boston Celtics away, playing the Toronto Raptors on Wednesday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
A partly cloudy day with a high of 42 degrees. On Tuesday, partly cloudy again, windier and colder, a high of 32. On Wednesday, sunny and breezy, a high of 29. As we get toward the end of the week, we're looking at mostly sunny with temperatures in the low to mid 30s. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Tell it to my heart if you want to, but it'd be better if you told it to everybody else by calling in at 508-996-0500. And you can also send in app chat text messages. You can also send in open line voicemail recordings on the WBSM app, brought to you by South Coast Towing. And just to continue on about the fatal shooting that happened at the Morna Lounge and Grill over the weekend, Mayor Mitchell put out a statement, which one of the criticisms that had been happening in recent years was that you didn't hear from the mayor, you didn't hear from the police chief when things like this happened. And recent incidents Mayor Mitchell has put out statements, and he put one out Saturday afternoon. There's no place in our city for brazen acts of violence like this morning's shooting. New Bedford police are working diligently with the Bristol County DA's office to apprehend the perpetrator and bring him to justice. Chief Paul Oliveira and I will urge the city's licensing board to hold accountable any establishment where there has been a pattern of police incidents, including the bar where this morning's incident took place. So now, whether or not the bar was still on probation for its license based on the past violent incidents that had happened there. It was 2022 when the stabbing took place, and it was put on probation for that. And I think there's been some other incidents inside since then, fights. And then we had the murder that took place outside of it back in August. Now, whether or not they faced any consequence for that, I don't know. They apprehended the suspect pretty quickly. But it was, you know, it was outside of the building where this person was located, I believe, after the bar had closed. So I don't know if they felt them as being part of that, if they felt that the bar was part of that situation or not. But still, here you have the mayor saying he and the police chief will urge the licensing board to hold accountable any establishment where there's been a pattern of police incidents. What's the current status of the licensing board? But anyway, we'll see where that goes. And again, is this disheartening that we're only 2 weeks into the year and the city has its first homicide? Those numbers are down in recent years, but I'm sure that's concerning to people when it happens 10 days into the month. 508-996-0500. And also, you know, the caller who called in and said he's hearing less on the scanner. He wonders if that's that, you know, there's information that's being kept from the public. I think you're going to see a lot of quieter scanner channels. We had the story last week that Dartmouth was now encrypting all of its emergency communications. You know, not if it's an emergency that you need to know about. That information will still get out. But the agencies talking to each other, they are encrypting all of that now, as opposed to before where they would have to go encrypted. They would have to go on these private channels. Now they're just going to put everything on a private channel. So when you use something like a police scanner or Broadcastify or some of these other scanner apps that people use now, and that's why there's so many folks sitting at home listening to the scanner these days. It's not that people have gone out and bought police scanners. It's that they are utilizing these apps that allow them to hear these scanner broadcasts. And when scanner recordings are put on to news stories on TV, you'll see it'll say, you know, courtesy Broadcastify, because those apps not only can broadcast them live, but they record them as well. And so the proliferation of that means that there are tons of people sitting at home listening to what's going on. And the other side of it is those people are then taking that information and publishing it, whether it be, you know, news outlets or whether it be people at home putting it on social media. Now, news outlets have known and practiced for years an ethical approach to that. You know, we here don't ever want to report scanner. We don't ever want to use scanner reports as our source of information unless we get what is on those scanner reports confirmed by the police department, because what you hear coming over the scanner is not what's actually happening or what actually happened. It's what somebody called into as having happened. For example, somebody might call in and say gunshots on Acushnet Avenue. And then people run to social media because they heard it on the scanner app and say, gunshots on social media. Then the police arrive and investigate and find out, oh, it's just somebody setting off fireworks. There were no gunshots. But by that point, the damage is done. People have put on social media gunshots. So now not only are people already freaking out because there were gunshots on Acushnet Avenue, but then you have people thinking that you're not being told the truth. Well, I saw on Facebook that it was gunshots. And now they're telling us it was fireworks. What are they trying to cover up? Well, they're not covering up anything. Just the information, the initial information was incorrect. So we've always tried to confirm before we go with it, but sometimes you don't get the confirmation. And sometimes you get details from the scanner that the police won't give you or the DA's office doesn't give you that you verify through other sources were actually the case. So if you hear us say scanner reports, you know, you should know that that's what it is. It's a scanner report. It doesn't mean that it's the actual necessary facts, but we've been able to at least get enough verification to go with that. But again, it's something that we prefer not to do, which is why, you know, people will call in here and say, hey, I just heard on the scanner that this is happening, and you'll hear me shut them down pretty quickly because that's not information we should be giving out over the air unless we verify that that's the case. Not saying that you didn't hear it on the scanner and not saying that you're incorrect. But we don't know that what was put out over the scanner was correct. And so with the proliferation of these apps and people running to social media to put on these town and neighborhood watch Facebook pages, they're going to want to encrypt some of that information, if not all, because things that aren't correct are getting put out there. And again, not the fault of the people who are hearing it and then putting it up on social media. They're probably as accurate as they can be, but it's just the information might not be. And then what they're also concerned about is you're putting people's information out there when those people might not actually be convicted of any crime. And if you are not convicted of a crime and someone has published that you are, that you have committed this crime, that can cause a lot of problems. That's why you see us use the word and overly use the word allegedly in our news stories. Because you can't say that somebody did something until they're convicted of it. So it's all just alleged. It's all just the police said. Until that person is actually found guilty of that crime. And inevitably, we've published stories where, you know, we've written about people who have committed a crime and then they reach out to us later and say, hey, I wasn't convicted of that crime. Take that story down. And if they can provide us with the court documentation, we will do that. But we need to see that it was adjudicated and that you were found not guilty of that crime, or, you know, that the charges were dismissed or what have you. And just giving us the paperwork isn't enough. We then have to take that paperwork and verify it. But that's the reality of the situation and why you're going to see more and more encrypted communications. It's not that they're trying to keep anything from you. It's because there are people who haven't used that information responsibly. And it was one thing when it was journalists and concerned citizens who were listening in. You know, my grandparents had a scanner going 24 hours a day in their dining room. And I used to sleep in the living room on the floor when I stayed over right next to it. And I'd hear it going all night long in Randolph. Because they had Randolph, they had Brockton, you know, Holbrook, all the surrounding towns, and you'd hear it all. And the sound of a you know, an old crystal scanner, the old Bearcat crystal scanners, that's a comforting, nostalgic sound for me. But the other part of that is, you know, those people were just utilizing that information. They weren't, you know, for themselves. They weren't going to social media, which didn't exist in those days, and publishing that information. So that's where things have changed. They weren't showing up at the crime scenes to take photos or video. And whether you believe that's right or wrong, but that's one of the things that they're concerned about. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Sapiolas.
How you doing? Gilly, just to let you know, I'm late for a break, so can I take that break and put you on hold, and we'll get to you right after we get that?
Can I just say, it's not going to take long.
Sure.
Okay. What you said about putting false information out, talk to Chris McCarthy, because he does it all the time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Now we know what Gilly's new campaign is going to be. So just in case you want to turn the radio off when you hear his voice, you already know what the shtick's going to be. All right, we'll be back in just a few moments. All right, let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning, you're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you today?
Good, how are you today?
Oh, fantastic. Another absolutely great show. As always, thank you.
Thank you.
I know the past week or so, we've had some negative vibes from some callers, and two of them just so happened to be my favorites, Mary and Gilly. And I noticed towards the end of last week, Mary called and kind of squashed the negativism. I felt as though she absorbed that she was over negative last week, and I can respect that. And as a huge fan of Gilly, again, I will say this week, as I said last week, Gilly, you're losing me, brother. You have a lot of good information, but you're shooting all over the place. You need to get yourself a little bit more in control. Chris McCarthy does not run the city of New Bedford. We've got people running the city of New Bedford. This is where our activity needs to be going. To be constantly calling at 6:30 in the morning talking about Chris McCarthy is ridiculous, uncalled for, and it's time, Gilly, as a fan, please move on, because you have a lot of valuable information and you're wasting it. So please, for the sake of all the people, get about your business. And Tim, again, thank you for sitting there and having to deal with this at 6:30 in the morning. It's ridiculous.
Well, believe me, I'd like to think that Chris McCarthy has enough sway over New Bedford that he can dictate how the city council goes. I would love to think that WBSM is that powerful, but the truth is, we're just a radio station.
Yeah, and again, like I said, as a fan of Gilly's, for him to be calling in at 6:45 in the morning and not reporting on serious issues going on in the city, he's calling in to report on a radio guy.
Even worse, waiting till I say the line that he can utilize as his in to use it as a shot against him. But, you know, I don't want to keep beating up on another caller, because then they just call in.
No, I don't want to be. But as a fan of his, I'm just asking him to please move on. I'm not trying to beat nobody. He has good information that us taxpayers want to know. And so when he starts deviating and talking about a radio guy at 6:30 in the morning, again, I would hope that he is able to move on, because it's going to get to the point where I'm not going to listen to anything he's got to say, and that's not where I want to be. And again, thank you for dealing with it.
Well, thank you for the call. You have a great day.
You as well. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, we got to take one more break here before the end of the hour. We'll be right back. All right, we're going to be going into the news in just a moment. And when we come back on the other side, we'll talk more with you. 508-996-0500. But, you know, today is going to be the warmest day of the week. Good thing, too, because I've got to go film a TV project when I leave here. And they said to us over the weekend, dress warm because we're going to be filming outside. And I immediately looked at the forecast and said, oh, thank goodness it's going to be the warmest day of the week that we got to be outside for 5 or 6 hours filming this TV thing. So I'll let you know more about it when I can. But for now, just I'm thankful that it's going to be 40 degrees and not 20 degrees like it's been the last week or so. All right, we'll take a break for the news. When we come back on the other side, more with you. 5